Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners, Dennis Cooper here. If you're a fan of Culpable, then you know we normally focus on one case for an entire season, like the season one case of Christian Andreacchio and the season two case of Brittany Stikes. As I continue working on season three, I'll be using this platform to help more families in their fight for justice. Last fall, I brought you 6 cases over 6 weeks. Now, I'm bringing you 5 more. From Tenderfoot TV, another installment of Culpable Case Review is available now. Check out this clip.
So she jumped over her friend into the driver's seat, hit the gas. Her foot did not let off the gas. She hit a mailbox. I think she rolled into a tree, and she was already dead.
From Tenderfoot TV, Culpable Case Review is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus for early access and ad-free listening. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
Rattled and Shook is released weekly, every Thursday, and brought to you absolutely free. But if you want to listen ad-free, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get exclusive bonus episodes. For more information, check out the show notes. Now, enjoy the episode.
And now, presenting Rattled and Shook.
I'm April.
And I'm Meredith, and this is Rattled and Shook,
a podcast where we tune into scary stories and discuss our deepest, darkest fears. So we've got a little theme going this week.
A light theme.
Spooky spa?
Yeah, spooky spa.
Anti-aging horror.
I'm so curious where this is leading. Okay. I know you're thinking something.
I am thinking something. I'm going to have to turn my camera off. I'm just going to narrate this for the people who can't see us right now.
AKA everyone. No one can see us.
And for those who can, please stop watching us.
Please stop.
Okay, here we go. Analyze the image that you see right now of my face and the room behind me.
Okay.
And then I'm going to turn the camera off. And when I turn it back on, something will be different. And I just want you to try to figure out what that will be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I used to love this game as a kid.
Mm-hmm. I knew that about you. Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, camera's off. I can hear you rustling around in there.
Oh, boy. Okay, hold on. I need to get situated. This is not an easy task, what I'm doing right now.
It sounds like you're, like, making origami over there.
Okay.
Am I warm?
No, but I mean, you know, feel free to keep guessing.
Is this going to be dumb?
Yes.
Right now, this is giving, like, when you tell your parents, like, come in here. I'm going to do a show for you.
All right, ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
I can't tell what's different.
I know, it's hard, right? You're smart. I think you can do it.
Oh, my God. Screenshotted, by the way.
Oh, you did. Okay, great.
But I'm going to guess that you're wearing a red light anti-aging mask right now.
You are correct.
Just under your glasses.
Yes.
It's so funny to see your mouth moving under there. You look like a glowing red version of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in like Ghostbusters.
Oh, how interesting. I'm giving square right now, square shaped head.
It's really disturbing.
Oh, it is. But I kind of love the idea of this being the mask of the next slasher movie killer.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, this is the second coming of Jason.
So what does it do? What does it do?
So this promotes collagen production using near and far infrared and red light, I believe, wavelengths.
Do you notice any differences? How long have you been using it?
Oh, I've only had it a week.
Oh, I was going to say you looked radiant, but
oh, thank you.
I guess that's just you.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, it really is a terrifying mask. Like to have a partner who would be wearing that, like just like laying stationary on a couch.
I'll put this on and just sit in the living room, just hoping that one of my roommates walks in. You know, what a fun little moment for us.
What a fun little moment for us.
And honestly, the glasses are like kind of a chef's kiss.
They really are the chef's kiss.
But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, I'll take before and afters with the mask off, obviously. And, you know, maybe we'll just post them to Instagram.
I kind of want one now.
You should. We can record together with our masks on.
Do you feel like, do you see a wrinkle there?
What wrinkle? You got no wrinkle.
Well, you can't see because my webcam's not good enough.
You take your before and then do nothing for 3 months and then take an after. We'll compare.
So I'm like the test group that didn't have the red light therapy?
Yes.
Okay.
You're the control group.
Perfect. Well, this is a great segue into our spa-ish themed scary stories.
Yeah, we got a couple of
it's hard to watch you.
Yeah, I can see that. But anyway, I believe we've got a couple of stories here that are even creepier than this mask. So
yeah, that's debatable.
It's be good.
You can see the screenshots later.
Yeah, we'll assess after.
All right, let's get into these stories.
About 10 years ago, I worked at a day spa as a receptionist. The spa was this beautifully restored historical building that was about 100 years old. It had previously burned down, so everyone was very paranoid about it happening again. We would always double and triple check that hot tools and things like wax pots were turned off. At this point, I had been working there for about 2 years and was privy to many ghost stories surrounding the place. I'd experienced a few freaky things here and there, but I always chalked it up to imagination, like a few sightings people had of a woman in a white dress at the top of the giant staircase walking back and forth. Once we had a call from the security company saying they were getting movement alerts in a room that was empty. Things like that. One night I was closing, and I told the receptionist working with me that she could go home. I didn't want her to have to stick around and wait for the last customer to leave. So she headed out, and I waited for the last woman's pedicure to dry before starting my closing duties. The last customer finally finished up, and I walked her out, locking the door behind her. It was a particularly stormy night that night, so I wanted to be done as soon as I possibly could. Since I'd already worked there for 2 years, I had a very set routine that I followed when closing. I always did it in the exact same order. First, I'd make sure the pedicure light was off, then the manicure room light. Then I'd go down the hall and enter each service room and make sure the wax pot was off, the hot stones off, unplug both machines, turn off the room light, and then repeat until all service rooms were shut down. It was raining really hard that night, and there was this particularly eerie song with slow piano playing. I always hated that song on the spa playlist and would think to myself that someone really needed to remove it. It was especially creepy once all the lights had been turned off. So, I'm finally finished closing. I walk down the dark, creepy back staircase, set the alarm, leave, and lock the door behind me. I run to my car as fast as I can because the rain is really coming down. My car was parked where I had a view of the pedicure room, the first room on my closing duties. I watch with my bare eyes as the pedicure room light turns on right in front of me. I sit in shock, knowing that I was alone in there. How the hell did the light turn on? I debate for a minute on if I should go back in and see what's wrong. I'm already creeped out. I was even before leaving. But I just know that I'll be chewed out in the morning if I don't close things properly. So, against my better judgment, I unlock the door, turn off the alarm, and walk back up the dim staircase. Go to the pedicure room, which was empty, and turn the light off. At this point, I should be in total darkness, but but down the hallway, I see another light glowing. I think to myself, what the hell? I'm absolutely positive I closed every room. I followed the same routine I have every single night for the last 2 years. Sure enough, two of the service room lights were on, and the wax pots had been plugged back in and turned back on. And I'm 100,000% sure I had unplugged them because I always had "don't start a fire, don't start a fire" going on in my head while I closed the rooms. At this point, I'm terrified. So I unplug the wax, turn off the lights, and run as fast as I can to get out of there. This time, I decided I was absolutely not looking up to see if any lights were on when I left. Because honestly, I didn't want to know.
Creepy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Light freak. Freaky light.
Light freak. Just a little light freak.
So I'm curious, given the theme and the story. Mm-hmm. Are you a spa bitch?
Oh, I 100%.
Yeah?
Yes. I love spas.
Okay.
Interesting. Wait, did you think I wouldn't be?
I don't know. I was like, I could see it, but I could also see it not being so. I could see the other side too.
So you really weren't sure?
I was at, 49, 51, for and against.
Yeah, I'm basically 100. I'm 100.
Yeah?
Yeah, my only consistent birthday ritual is spa.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I feel like I've brought it up to you before where I'm like, I would love to do like a spa weekend or even just a full spa day. And you've never kind of offered your end of things. You've never reciprocated that.
I've just been silent.
Yeah. Blank stare. No, you're just like, oh, that's nice.
Oh, no, I'm enthusiastic about it for sure.
Yes, okay.
I used to go like very regularly when I lived in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my favorite thing to book, kind of going with the story. And 8 p.m., end of the night, last client, massage.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally like finish at 9 p.m., and just drive immediately to sleep. Well, once I get home, not on the road.
Ultimate relaxation.
My favorite part of the story is when she brought up the creepy piano song.
Right.
And I'm curious what your take is on spa music.
So I've definitely experienced this before during usually massage because I feel like that's when I'm most trying to relax.
Mm.
And something comes on and it's like weirdly intense.
Mm.
I'm like, am I in Lord of the Rings?
It's like the didgeridoo.
What's the didgeridoo?
Oh, that like Australian like huge like flute instrument that's like really deep. Wait, is this not something people think about every day?
The didgeridoo? Is that your Roman Empire?
That's my Roman Empire.
I need to find a clip of that.
The didgeridoo? Yeah.
Insert it here. Yeah. It's a lot.
I think my unpopular trait is that I really like it. I like that.
You like when it goes there?
I like that weird flute music. I love the combination of like music and ambiance that spas play where they're like playing like ocean sounds over here and then like a harp over here. The only thing I don't like is when it sounds like computer generated piano. It bothers me. But if it's like basically anything else, I'm in for it. I love spa music.
Yeah. So no green sleeves, but you do love a didgeridoo.
I love their calming ambiance. I'm constantly trying to recreate it at home, but it never hits the same. Don't play it at home.
So a few years ago, my friend got this voucher for WeSpa, which is this, pretty well-known Korean spa in Hollywood. And I came along and you got to go naked, in the women's spa area. Everyone's kind of walking around, just hopping in pools. And my friend and I, we were like, this is kind of a new level of our friendship. But we walked around covering ourselves with our towels. And every time I went into a pool and put the towel next to me, a staff member would just scoop it up and walk away with it. And I'm like, wait, I need that, please.
Honestly, like, I haven't been to this location. I've heard of this spa. And I know a lot of people love it. And I guess we are getting into like irrational fear territory because I've never been a Korean spa where it's just like everyone is nude in the separated areas.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go alone, but I also don't want to go with anyone I know. So I don't know.
Here's the thing. You kind of just like avert your eyes.
I feel like I could see you being so anxious about this.
Oh, I was. I was like constantly looking at the ceiling. I was just like, I'm good. We're all good. This is normal. It's natural. We'll just all be here and exist together. And I'm not looking at you.
This feels so anxiety provoking for a spa experience.
Mm-hmm. It's like Ben, another Parks and Rec reference, mm-hmm. Ben doing acupuncture. And he's like, this is the most stressed I've ever been mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should go together, April. Let's level up.
Let's just do it.
It's time. Now, a word from our sponsors.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's tune in to another story.
So, this takes place at Miraval. If you don't know, Miraval is like this very ritzy canyon ranch-style retreat in the desert outside of Tucson, Arizona. It's posh, and they feed you all these like fancy whole foods. You can work out and do all these emotional wellness types of activities like horse therapy and like high ropes courses, and you can meet with nutritionists. There's definitely a metaphysical component, kind of like all the American Southwest. In the Southwest, there's a strong connection to First Nation people and the land and the stars, but generally it's just a posh place where white women go and have spa treatments and eat dinner in their bathrobes. So we're staying in this casita where there's the main house and a second house all inside this walled courtyard with really high, like over 12-foot metal walls. The casita is in a grouping of other casitas, but it's the one on the end. So to one side, it's just the desert. I'm generally a pretty intuitive person. A lot of gut feelings, foreshadowy dreams, etc. I generally just listen to it and figure out later the reason for that feeling. So the day that everything happened to me, I had decided to go out to the desert and do a trail run by myself. I'm a runner, so I'm very comfortable being alone in nature, but I kept getting these crazy feelings like I'm being followed. And I kept looking over my shoulder
And every time I would have a corner where I couldn't see what was in front of me, I would really brace myself, tighten up in my shoulders and my arms because I just kept expecting something to jump out at me. It was just this really horrible, follow-y feeling. So I sped up and made my way out of the desert as quickly as I could. But it was still probably another mile until I felt like I was back to the resort enough to feel safe. When I got back, I convinced myself it was like a fox or something following me. Maybe worst case scenario, a mountain lion. You know, whatever lives out there. But this unease continued to follow me. And I wouldn't go back out onto the property without someone with me for the rest of that day and night. That night, I'm woken up in the middle of the night to this really loud, really rhythmic noise outside of the casita. I'm laying there in bed and I'm like, a goddamn drum circle. That's what it must be. This is a hippy-dippy resort and they're having a drum circle, and that's what it sounded like, a weird drum circle with like at least 10 people, maybe 20. But it sounded so organized with like a pattern, and it was very loud. It seemed like it was just in the clearing right outside of my casita. So I'm laying in bed and I'm listening to this drum circle, and the only way I can describe it is that I just started to get angry, unreasonably angry. I am not quick to rage, but this was the epitome of seeing red. I cannot explain why some noise out in the desert was causing this visceral reaction, but it was like I was not in control of myself. And my crazy rage brain was like, you need to go out there and you need to tell them to go shut up. So I get out of my bed, I'm in my pajamas, and I stomp on my sneakers. I'm basically in shorts and this tank top in the winter in the desert. My feet shoved into my sneakers where, you know, you're kind of stepping on the back of your shoes and the laces are flopping around. I walked out the door to my part of the casita and I stomped through the courtyard. And to clarify, it's a perfectly clear night, no wind, nothing. And I get to the metal gate. At this point, I'm peak rage. The moment I put my hand to the handle of the gate to open it, this really chill woman's voice says, clear as day in my head, the thing that is trying to lure you outside at night is not the thing you want to meet. And just like that, like a finger snapping, my rage breaks. I've gone from this red-hot, stompy rage to a chilled-out nothingness. And the drumming had stopped. I drop my hand from the gate, turn around, and go back to bed. The next morning, I asked my friend and my mom, damn, did you guys hear that annoying drum circle last night? I was so irritated by it. And they have no idea what I'm talking about. I went to the schedule from the day before, and I was sure that I was going to find an explanation, like some sort of midnight activity that could explain the noise. Nothing. I asked a few people who worked there, and still, nothing. I mean, I guess this could be some sort of auditory hallucination, but I have no explanation. It's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me.
That's spooky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like in that canon of stories of like Native American curses.
Right.
It's not the first one I've seen submitted to us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I get it. you know?
You get it? Oh, why someone might be cursed.
Yeah, I would get why there's maybe a prevalence of these stories.
You did put a day spa on probably sacred land.
Yeah, makes sense. You know, not that I think any one person deserves to get lured into a nefarious drum circle.
Well, I think that's what's interesting about this story is because she has like a voice that saves her from whatever it would have been, assuming it was nefarious in the first place. But I don't know if I've quite heard that twist before.
Yeah, it seems like whatever was sort of luring her, there was like a force combating that or a protective force combating that.
Maybe, I mean, if we're leaning into the story, the way I heard it is like she seems to kind of know the gist of what this bot is and is like,
yeah,
maybe they're like, this isn't a worthy target.
Yeah, it's like, let's go after someone who's a little more problematic.
I think that's how I read it too. But the one thing I do really, really relate to, as I've told you before, is I have like, it's a curse. Speaking of curses, I have really like honed in hearing.
Mm, I'm the same way.
I fixate on sounds. I can hear things that my friends can't hear, my family can't hear.
Oh my God. Same.
Like if I hear a sound at night, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't experience rage really. Except for that, I think it's misophonia is what it's called.
Where it's like you cannot tune things out.
Yeah, I'm like hyper hearing and then quite a response to it if I can't figure out where it is or when it'll stop.
Yeah, I completely identify with that. I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There is a bird outside my window that has been ruining my life for the last 3 months.
No.
Because it will not stop yapping. It wakes me up at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's going all day and no one else hears it.
Been there.
No one else hears it. And I'm going to play a clip right now. So yeah, obviously I can't tune out sounds.
Yes. Yeah. Also, completely different side note. I've been to a drum circle before.
Really?
A full moon drum circle.
So was it an authentic drum circle?
No, it certainly was not.
You went to Venice, didn't you?
I went to like the beach 30 minutes away. It was so spiritual.
Yeah.
No, it was in Colorado and it was for Up and Vanish season 2.
Oh.
The woman of that season went missing right after a full moon drum circle.
Oh.
In Crestone, Colorado. And so when we went to that drum circle to check it out.
Oh, damn.
It was not authentic.
It was not authentic. But did it feel ominous to visit that specific site?
Yes, it did feel ominous.
Yeah. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I think it was non-denominational, I guess is how I put it. I don't know that you needed to be actually in the Native American church to be involved. So
non-denominational drum circle. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
I have been one.
Yeah. I think living in LA, it just kind of comes with the territory, you know, sort of being exposed to the neutered versions of these.
It's like the Erewhon of drum circles. Anything in LA is going to be very far from authentic.
Yeah, it's commodifying, you know, religion and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Hence all the curses. But yeah, I think kind of going back to the idea of like this noise that is incessant and is almost there to lure you out or lure you somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of a fun trope for scary stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we even tapped into that with Irrational Fears. Someone wrote in something about like an alarm going off and they can't turn it off. They have no control over
it. I remember that one.
But just the idea of this like ominous sound that frustrates you into madness.
It reminds me of, you know, in the original Sleeping Beauty, like the Disney animated Sleeping Beauty, where Aurora is drawn to touch the spindle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. 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 So shiny.
I can remember vividly like the music that is playing in that part. And it's very like trance-like. But I loved that part. It was so freaky.
Yeah. The witch in Sleeping Beauty, one of the freakiest.
Mm-hmm.
The green fire, when she appears, her eyes in the fireplace.
I was pretty afraid.
Yeah.
Maleficent.
Yes.
But that was my favorite Disney princess for a long time.
Was it?
I know, that's pretty boring of me. And then it was Mulan, which was a lot cooler.
Oh, Mulan's way cooler. Pretty sure mine was Jasmine.
I still hold space for Aurora.
Aurora and her zero personality.
Like, so passive. In her defense, like neither did Philip, the prince that saved her. They both were basic.
I'll say this. Philip, for no reason at all, I just think of young Dennis Quaid when I see Philip. I don't know, man.
Well, actually, I guess I can see it. I was going to say he's too charming.
I feel like if we let Philip actually speak, what'd you say?
So I think it would be Joe Alwyn. Someone I know nothing about and never will.
Yeah, he's kind of a cipher.
But only know him through who he's dated. It's perfect for Philip.
Right.
It's perfect. And if you don't know, Joe Alwyn dated Taylor Swift. And if you don't know, how don't you know?
And if you don't know how you don't know, how do you not know?
Thank you.
And now, more words from more sponsors.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do you ever wish you could become a detective and help find the clues to the case? How about all of that in a mobile game that you can take anywhere? In June's Journey, each scene leads to a new thrilling storyline. Uncover the mystery of June's sister's murder and find out about scandalous family secrets. The gameplay lets you find hidden clues as you investigate a murder mystery. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance. Let your imagination run wild when decorating your island estate and collect scraps of information to fill your photo album and learn more about each character. Whether you're craving a good mystery or looking for an escape, you can immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story, taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. I travel so much while working that I personally love to play it while sitting around airports with all that free time I have. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Okay, so we have some listener follow-ups because some of you guys have been writing in after a lot of these stories with like similar stories and just like interesting information. And we haven't been able to get to all of it, but we have a couple today that we wanted to give a shout out for.
So I'm going to start out with the first one from Zoe. This has to do with our episode 31, She Sees You When You're Sleeping, where we talked about shared dreams. Zoe writes, I'm not a shared dreams expert, but I did have a weird shared dreams experience. One night, I had a dream about a really sweet childhood friend. We have lived in different states since high school, almost 20 years ago. Only get to see each other every few years, and I'm terrible at texting, so we don't talk that often. The day after my dream, I messaged her to tell her about it, and she had dreamed about me too. Not many similarities between the dreams, but so strange that we popped up in one another's dreams on the same night. Also had an out-of-nowhere dream about a college classmate that she was standing at a window watching a storm. The next day, I found out a tornado had gone through her town. Anyway, love the podcast. Thanks, Zoe. Hope your friend is okay. So when she mentions the, you know, they both just happen to be thinking about each other at the same time, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of thinking about like you and I, because I feel like whenever I think of Meredith, oh, I'm going to Slack or something, or I'm going to text or something, I look and you're already typing something to me. Didn't we like acknowledge that once though?
Yeah, I think we do have a brain link in that way. I think I can feel when you're about to say something and what you're about to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to like preemptively like already give you the information.
We are psychically linked through Slack.
The best way.
Have you ever heard the phrase, your ears must be burning?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah. Where it came from. Like, I know what it's supposed to be. It's like, oh, you just reached out as I was about to reach out to you or thinking of you.
But it
you
sounds know? Like an infection.
Yeah. Amoxicillin?
Do you need some drops? I mean, it's kind of similar to Speak of the Devil.
Mm-hmm. I like Speak of the Devil, though. Who doesn't love Speak of the Devil?
Speak of the Devil is great.
From now on, whenever you Slack me, I'm going to write Speak of the Devil.
That's right. We have another submission from Rachel, who wrote in after episode 28, Dress for Distress, which was our episode that had a lot to do with like men in suits in different forms. And so Rachel wrote, "This isn't exactly a story submission, but I had to write in about the story a few episodes ago about a young girl in the park getting approached by the news weatherman and the news doing a story on kidnapping. That happened to me also. I was in Colorado Springs, and I don't know where that other listener was, but this must have been a thing across the country in the 90s. I was in fifth grade, and I was walking home with my babysitter's son, also fifth grade. This is 1996. His name is Justin. We were almost home, and some guy across the street from us yells out, 'Hey, I'm missing my puppy. Could you help me find him?' I immediately told Justin, 'Heck yeah, let's go look for this puppy.' Justin said no, took my hand, and started running with me. Later, our babysitter and my parents told us that they set the whole thing up, and we even saw the news footage of our little blurred faces running away and my amazing bowl cut flapping in the wind. We were the only kids that day that ran away, and we were praised. I always felt a little guilty knowing it was really Justin that ran, and I was all in for puppy searching. But now, as a damn grown woman, and after listening to that episode, I realized, what the fuck? That was some shady shit that our parents did, LOL. Anyways, love your show." I love how all these end, like, they're like, trauma, 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 trauma. Thanks, love guys. It. Love it.
Appreciate it. Yeah, man. The 90s, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So the 90s was the height of Stranger Danger, right?
It was.
Yeah. Some interesting tactics.
It was really just like experiment on kids time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it makes me think of? Have you seen Arrested Development?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the guy that George Bluth, like the head of the family, has to like teach his kids lessons where they'll like pull his arm off?
Oh, yeah.
And they think they accidentally pulled this man's arm off and he'll be like, and that's why.
The one-armed man.
It's like this whole storyline in Arrested Development about the dad employing this guy to like teach his kids like lessons in like the goriest and most absurd ways. And there really is truth to that. In the 90s, it was like, let's teach you a lesson. Let's scare tactics are in.
Yeah. Let's shock this into your brain so that it's imprinted forever.
Amazing.
I appreciate the visual of her bowl cut flapping in the wind.
It's just super relatable.
As someone who didn't have a bowl cut, but whose little sister had a bowl cut that I frequently made fun of.
You lucked out.
I did luck out.
I had some pretty horrendous bangs, but that's just me every time I get bangs because it has happened again in my adulthood. Interesting. I'm trying to think if I've ever been made an example of like this.
The only thing I got here, I mean, in terms of like interesting tactics that your parents employed, was every time I left the house, my dad would say these two phrases to me: be aware of your surroundings. You're always a target. Every time I left the house.
Wow. And you turned out fine.
I did. Look at me.
You're not a hermit.
No.
Not in the slightest.
Look at my glowing skin.
Rattled and Shook is a Tenderfoot TV production in partnership with Odyssey. Executive producers are Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay. Co-executive producer is Meredith Stedman. Hosted and produced by April Ruha and Meredith Stedman. Lead editor and sound designer is April Ruha. Additional production by Sean Nerney. Production management by Tracy Kaplan and Jordan Foxworthy. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Original art by Puppy Teeth. Follow us on social media at Rattled and Shook.